Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Here we go. The good weather continues in Vancouver. And the markets are, bad weather one day, good weather the next day.
Bob, we like to kick off our show with listener questions. We have a question from Charlie. Charlie writes us, Hi, Jim. I try never to miss an episode with Bob. You guys seem to have some great insights, and Bob seems to have ESP when it comes to the markets. Enter Twilight Zone music. Yes, the question. Bob suggests investment grade 4-year corporate bonds to weather the coming downturn. What about corporate bond funds or ETFs? Could those be an alternative?
Well, yeah, they could be. I didn't have time to take a look for them. You can follow it up. Or the alternative is to get with a good full-service firm that includes a bond trading desk and just see if you can find some good four-year corporate bonds. And as to the time to buy them, I'd say right now before, you know, get out of the hot liquid item or the hot items that have been so good and then park your money in these. Because if you go to cash type things or deposits, whatnot, the interest rate could eventually go to zero. I mean, T-bills are going to go to zero, and the Fed funds rate is going to approach that direction. So the idea is to get a decent return at not a hell of a lot of risk, and that 4-year good grade corporate bond represents that. So, but it's great to come out when everything's hot, and then I would go to the investment idea virtually right away.
And Bob, in this atmosphere right now, where every week the stock markets hit record highs, do those send out any kind of warning signals to you, or is this just permanent? We're always going to have great times.
That's the belief always at times like this, but we got two things. Ross has his 100-year chart. We haven't been following it for 100 years, by the way. But the last few years has been calling for a major high around 5,400 on the S&P this summer, and we're effectively got it. Now, then the work I do is that great bubbles can, financial bubbles can complete in May or June. And then you have the old ancient sell in May and go away. So we've been looking perhaps for the best by about mid-year. And we're sort of there now. Now, if the financial markets are not overdone at this positive time, then one can assume that the rally would continue. But what we've got is upside excesses very distinctively at about the time when stock markets can peak. So the advice is to, you know, take the gains off the table. And I would just go for the, you know, you have to find a bond dealer, unfortunately. I don't know about ETFs. Also, you get an ETF, you got the costs of handling those things, whereas what you want is a safe vehicle where nothing can go wrong with it, or as little as possible. And as I said, you have to find a bond dealer to try and find some for it. Now, for Canadians, if you can find some U.S. corporates, in tough times, the Canadian dollar will likely go down relative to the U.S., so then you'd get an extra little out of the currency place. So, yeah, it'll take a little work, but it's well worth checking into it.
Second question, looks like a set of questions here. Bob, is it possible for short-term rates to go down significantly in an upcoming recession, but at the same time, long-term rates such as the 10 and 20-year rates go up significantly due to deficit and inflation fears?
Yeah, you hit it. Yeah, it's an overall loss of liquidity, so most asset prices get bid down. Again, the habit is in contraction, short rates go down, so you don't want to be there. But the bond market has been huge and sensational, especially if you include the action in junk. And it is up this week to yet a new high for the move, so there's no concerns for risk out there. You can buy these things with impunity. Nothing's going to go wrong, don't you know? But anyways, all this good stuff was likely to accomplish its best by around mid-year. And we'll just go over this one more time. May, June is often a good time to sell, but you only want to do it if things are straight up and reaching excesses. And this is what we're getting. On the other hand, if we weren't getting excesses now, you can assume that the bull market is intact. But we're saying this is exceptional excesses out there now. So caution is the word.
Yes, and there's more to the question. It's more of a comment. If the government fails to protect against inflation and starts money printing when the economy turns down, or because they want to protect financial assets more than the value of people's money, could this happen? Again, with the interest rates, this is something I think a lot of people should fear. I think the very reckless act of lowering interest rates on the short end could be the catalyst to drive long-term rates much higher. Well, is it the catalyst if they lower the rates?
Yeah, this is getting into cause and effect.
Yeah.
It's just that in a boom, short rates like T-bills go up. The Federal Reserve follows with a raise in its administered rates, and then the T-bill rates go down. Now, the T-bill rates peaked a couple of months ago and are very close to breaking down. And that's saying that the boom is over, and soon the Fed will follow with noise about administrative cuts. Now, also in the markets, you got the financial pundits who are just absolutely dead wrong. They consider that when the Fed starts to cut, it'll reignite the boom, but no. Short rates going up confirm you're in a boom. Short rates going down say you're no longer in a boom. And you can, we've done a chart on it. People can request it if they wish, showing the S&P against the 3-month Treasury bill. And we selected one part where the S&P went down real fast, and so did the T-bill rate. So, falling short rates from now on are going to be your worst nightmare. And it happens after every boom. Gosh, I've got one from September 2007 by a higher up in Wall Street guy, and saying that the rates are about to come down. No question about it. And it will be wonderfully helpful. You can take it back a few hundred years, that in a boom, short rates go up, and then as part of the bust, they go down. So we're facing it yet again.
And I'll call this little segment Power to the People, or maybe the people aren't getting the power. And it's all about AI. Apparently, artificial intelligence needs so much power, it's overwhelming the electrical grid.
Yeah, I'm writing one on that now. And, of course, when it breaks, it's going to, you know, all of a sudden you're not making these products or using a huge amount of capacity to store them, and that huge storage requires huge electricity. So when this breaks, the prices of electricity are going to decline significantly. And I say, I'm just writing it now, and it is very topical. So we'll get that report out in due course, and it's going to be fascinating to watch. But it's the same old theme, that it takes money to run a boom. And particularly with things like AI, and then back in 1980 it was .com. It took money to create and run those things. And then all of a sudden they were worth nothing. And so I think there's going to be huge capacity of electrical energy around the corner.
Also, what about the amount of power needed to mine Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You've got both of those things
That's
happening at once
now.
That's
even more direct. Yeah. It takes computer time plus power to create a crypto. And what's the crypto for? Strictly for trading. I can see no other use for it. So when it fails, it's going to be a vacuum like you can't believe. Yeah.
That's in another headline. The world's power grids are failing as the planet warms. You have all this air conditioning, I guess, being plugged in.
Oh,
plus,
yeah.
You have your AI and your cryptos and your electric vehicles.
Yeah. Well, first of all, cryptos and AIs are going to fade. So that's going to leave that capacity. And then, of course, the electric car vehicles is a crazy fad. They're just plain uneconomic. And so then that is beginning to fade. And the manufacturers are discovering that they got a huge parking lots of these EVs that they can't sell. So then there's going to be another free up of electrical capacity. Oh, I think electrical rates are just going to decline incredibly. So.
And a headline here, AI or crash, a show me the money attitude starting to emerge.
Yeah, they summed that article up with one hell of a good headline, like AI or crash. So that's a good line.
Well, again, people adding AI to the name of the company or their slogan to attract investors. Is this not like the .com crash of 2000
Sure.
Where people just added
.com? Added .com to your name and whoop, away you went on the stock. Yeah.
So yeah, the same kind of thing's happening.
Yeah.
And again, people are saying, oh, you have to add AI to all this stuff. But have they proven that that's necessary?
Well, it's been working for the stock market, but I think it's in the process of blowing out as we speak. So, yeah.
I guess with AI, you couldn't appeal to its emotional side if you were, you know, talking about somebody forgiving a bill.
I'm afraid not. No, it's .com all over the game. And actually, there was a high-tech stock with the 1873 bubble, Western Union Telegraph. I mean, it was phenomenal. And then in the 1929 bubble, the big high-tech stock was Radio Corp of America, RCA. Absolutely incredible. The stock eventually fell to, oh, I don't know, it was $100 or something like that, and then it fell to about $1 or so. And but when it was in 1929, the forecast was $3 a share earnings. And then I looked it up, and RCA didn't make $3 a share earnings until the 1960s with the Elvis Presley contract. So those buying the stock at very high prices in 1929 had no idea it would take, you know, 40 years to get back to a decent story on the stock, and the whole world can change in 40 years.
It can change in 4 minutes.
Yeah,
nowadays. We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, headline, the increasing complexity of the ETF universe. Overwhelming for some.
Yeah, it's very complex. The headline got it right. I think some of these big places like Reuters and Wall Street Journal, they've got specialists for crafting the headline on a story.
Yeah, they're called editors.
Yeah, sure.
I think the Brits have the best ones for the best headlines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they can do good ones.
Small cap soar in catch-up rotation.
Yeah, there was like the Russell 2000. It was just left behind in the weeds, and then all of a sudden the market discovers it's not hot, and then they make it hot. So it works its way around so that most every sector will become speculated in. And then they fail, of course.
Real estate meltdown strains even the safest office bonds.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot in that headline from the Wall Street Journal. The real estate price meltdown, and then you've got a whole lot of bond issues out there against that property. And so if they're having trouble with rents, then they're going to have trouble servicing the debt. So the market is pricing down the value of the debt.
It's the work from home phenomena, isn't it? All these empty office towers or semi-empty.
Or it could be unemployed at home.
Yeah.
Forget about the working from home.
Headline, China's central bank uses hedge fund tactic to tame bond bulls. What's the story there?
Oh, the bond markets for lower-grade bonds have been wild. So it looks like they're talking about taming the huge speculative move. Yeah, you know, another crazy phenomenon out there.
Dow notches record as traders ramp up bets on Fed rate pivot.
Yeah. This gets us back that the street has bid everything up on the prospect of Fed cuts. And we can demonstrate for a couple hundred years, whenever the senior central bank starts cutting rates, it's following a move in T-bill or T-bill equivalents. And it's the end of the party. Falling rates are a disaster.
And finally, an interesting headline here. Scrap metal thieves are causing fatalities by stealing the copper wires for signal lights and metal from fire hydrants.
Yep, that's a sign. The real prices for these metals are high, and this then prompts the vandals to steal them and try and get whatever cash money out, usually kind of druggy kind of guys. And it's an example of insane financial conditions.
Sometimes they steel manhole covers, now correctly called utility hatches, I think. And people in China, this is a real problem where you're just walking along in the dark and you drop into this 20-foot hole.
Yeah, I know what you mean on those ones. That's why I don't go walking anywhere at nighttime, Jim.
Especially where there are utility hatch covers.
Yeah.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, look forward to next week. We have kind of a fun time, and actually our listener questions add to the fun as well. So
I was just thinking a new meaning to down the hatch.
Well, when we're over, I'm going to tell you a funny story about manhole covers.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.